Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Live from the campus of Marist College in Poughkeepsie in the beautiful Hudson Valley, Westchester Talk Radio presents Hudson Valley Estate Planning Day. I'm Jim Cleefield, your host, along with the mixmaster, Matt Kay, and my extraordinary engineer. Just a reminder, we're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Durante Reynolds, J.P. McHale Pest Management, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
Indeed it is, Matt. And just a reminder, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk, and you can like us on Facebook, too. Tell all your friends and family about us, Westchester Talk Radio. Well, estate planning is a subject that's a very difficult one for people to talk about, whether you're an individual or it's a family. It's part of that cycle of life, and there are many, many questions, I'm sure, that need to be answered, and an event like this is very, very helpful. And to help set the scene for us today, we're pleased to have with us on set, he is John Jen, one of the event co-chairs, but he's also vice president and senior trust officer with Tompkins Trust Company there in Wappingers Falls here in the Hudson Valley. John, good to have you with us today.
Well thank you. It's exciting to be on the radio again.
Now, this is the sixth year you've done this event?
This is an event that the Hudson Valley Estate Planning Council hosts every 2 years, and this is our sixth event, and the second time we're holding it here at Marist.
Now, why is it done every 2 years? Why is that the case?
Well, there's a little bit too much work involved in order to put together this kind of an event and to do it every year with just the volunteers from the council, so every other year is enough.
Well, there are several subjects that you were talking about with those who are here at this event today. Actually, five subsections, but there sure is much more than that, from life insurance to estate planning, pensions, and even cybersecurity, which we'll talk to you with one of our guests a little bit later. Kind of highlight some of those for us, if you will.
Yeah. Everyone needs to put together a will in order to pass on your assets to the beneficiaries that you want. And if you don't do that, the laws of the state will dictate where your money goes to. And it's probably very rare to find a situation where those laws identically match up to an individual's desire as to who they want their assets to go to.
What's the difference between a will and a living trust?
Well, good question. But a will is a document under which you express clearly where you want your assets to go, whether it's to other individuals, whether it's to charities, or whether it's to Uncle Sam. I haven't had that one yet, but it's certainly a possibility. And then a living will is something where it involves your healthcare proxy, and it does have anything to do with your assets, but it has to do with the end-of-life issues.
So as far as the process of doing a will, for those who are not familiar with it, I mean, it is a step-by-step process. How does that work out?
Well, you need to identify your assets and who owns those assets. So if you're a married couple, you need to make a list of what your assets are, what your spouse's assets are, and what assets you own jointly, and then meet with an attorney. And I highly recommend an attorney that specializes in the field of trust and estate law. And then you sit down with that attorney, explain to them how you want your assets distributed, and they will translate that into the legalese that goes into a will. And then with two witnesses and the attorney, you execute the document by signing it, and then your will is in place.
What about, let's say, just for an individual?
Well, if it's just for an individual, it's the same process in that you want to identify your assets, you want to identify your ultimate beneficiaries. The one item I did leave out is you have to identify who's going to take care of carrying out those wishes. In essence, who are you going to name as the executor? And ideally, you'll talk with that person while you're alive and let them know that you're naming them in the document and they're comfortable with it. Otherwise, you may have to find another person or a corporate trust company to serve as your executor. But somebody has to carry out your wills for you.
Now, that executor could be a relative or, let's say, a friend of a family?
It can be any individual that's over the age of 18 and qualified to, carry out your wishes. It involves a few different facets. If you have stocks and bonds, and they're one aspect of it. If you have bank accounts, there's another aspect of it. You have real estate, and it's to be sold. You know, that person would be responsible for overseeing all of those different activities. If they're not able to do them with their own skill set, they may have to look to a specialist in that field, and then they would bring that person in to help them.
Now, what about life insurance? It's another component of estate planning. How does that work out?
Well, a life insurance policy, as you know, will pay a death benefit upon your death, and you want to plan out who that beneficiary is. And if you own that life insurance policy upon your death, it will be includable in your taxable estate, but go to the beneficiary. So depending upon the size of your estate and the value that you're passing on to your heirs, there is always some planning that needs to be done to try to minimize the effect of taxes and make sure that the maximum amount you want to go to your beneficiaries does in fact happen.
So let's say, let's say if you own property versus renting property, is there a difference between those two when it comes to this?
Oh, it's a good question. Absolutely. It's only assets that you own on your death that are in your name that are includable in your estate. So if you are renting from somebody on your death, that rental obviously ends, but the value of that rental property, because you do not own it, it will not be included in your estate. On the other hand, if you own property that you rent out to others, that is an asset of your estate because you own it. And the fact that you rent it to other people does not change the fact that it is owned by you at your death.
Now, we're here in New York State, and obviously it differs from state to state as far as estate planning. I mean, it really depends on where you are in terms of, let's say, the cost involved or the legal help. What's the difference where you are?
Well, it does depend. Some people will go down to Florida and snowbird, which is a common term. And if they are in Florida more than 6 months a year, 6 months in a day, then they can establish themselves as a Florida resident, and there is no estate tax in Florida. But there are other taxes. So it really is a value added by going and sitting with an attorney that specializes in the trust and estate field and can walk you through all these different scenarios that may be involved in your lifestyle and make sure that you are addressing what has to be done to make sure that your wishes are carried out, the minimum amount of taxes are paid, and your wishes are done. It's just, you can't do it on your own unless you really know the laws, and if that's the case, you're probably an attorney, and so you're all set. But highly recommend that you speak to a professional, have your accountant, your attorney, your financial advisor, have them all work together, because as your team members, they should all have your best interest in mind, and that's the purpose of the Estate Planning Council.
Yeah, so this wouldn't be a situation where, let's say, somebody is given the power of attorney. You actually want an attorney working with you throughout this whole process, right?
A power of attorney is a different document, a different animal, if you will. So a power of attorney, in essence, says the person I name on this document is going to step up and take care of financial transactions if the day comes and I'm not able to do it on my own, but I am still alive.
Now, one other subject I want to touch upon briefly, IRAs and annuities. How does that factor into this?
Well, those are assets that you own upon your death. And so there are different strategies that need to be considered and carried out because you have a named beneficiary on your IRA accounts, whether they're a traditional IRA or a Roth. And should something happen that the designated beneficiary predeceases you and you didn't change it, well, right away, now that's going to become an asset of your estate because there isn't a designated beneficiary any longer.
Having a chance to look at the book, one section talked about Medicare versus Medicaid. There are stark differences between the two. Can you kind of highlight that a little bit?
Well, absolutely. And that's another field that some elder law attorneys that often will practice trust and estate law, you need to talk to them about because there are very stringent rules and regulations that have to be met in order to protect some assets from the devastating cost of long-term care at the end of your life. And it's a type of item where you have to go to a specialist.
All right. Well, very good information. John, if anybody wants more information about an event like this or about estate planning, can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can certainly get in touch with me. But what I would recommend is really contacting the Hudson Valley Estate Planning Council. There is a phone number here, 845-564-3654. And if you ask for Al or Sue DiLorenzo, they'll certainly be able to point you in the right direction depending upon your circumstances and what professional that you really need to be put in touch with.
All right, John, thanks so much for joining us. Very good information. Thanks for coming on with us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Once again, we've been speaking with John Jem, one of the co-chairs of this event, and is also vice president and senior trust officer with Tompkins Trust Company. They're located in Wappingers Falls. We're going to take a short break and come back right after this.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about four decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You'd probably rather use that extra cash to buy a new car, but the contaminated soil around your oil tank needs attention. Northeast Environmental is Westchester's premier provider for underground storage tank removals and environmental services. Call Northeast Environmental, 777-1930, and take care of your dirt.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Westchester Talk Radio broadcasting live from the beautiful Hudson Valley. We're here on the campus of Marist College in Poughkeepsie, and we're here for Hudson Valley Estate Planning Day. I'm Jim Cleefield, your host, along with the Mixmaster Matt Kahan, our extraordinary engineer. Just a reminder, we're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Durante Reynolds, J.P. McKell Pest Management, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
Indeed it is, Matt. And just a reminder, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk, and you can like us on Facebook, too, Westchester Talk Radio. Joining me now, my latest guest, the other co-chair of this event we're happy to have with us. He is Stuart Glenn. He is a practicing attorney in private practice with the firm of Glenn and Braheny. They're located in Newburgh, and that's in the Hudson Valley here. Glenn, good to have you with us. You specialize in three areas, wills, trust, and real estate. Is that correct?
That's correct. Estate planning in general, which includes those and advanced directives, but estate planning in real estate, that's right.
Let's get into the history of how this event started. This is the sixth event you've done, but it's biannual. It's not every year because it takes a lot of work to put this together. John explained that to me at the outset. How did this all come about?
The way it really came back for this chapter, which is a chapter of a national organization, the National Association of Estate Planners and Councils, have an annual meeting, and when I was president of the chapter, I went to it, and one of the chapters was giving information, happened to be the New Orleans chapter, about how they ran Estate Planning Day, and it looked like it would be a really great program to run here. So I got on the board about it when I got back, and they finally said, okay, let's go ahead and run it. So we did that, and this is our sixth one. We did two at SUNY New Paltz, two at Mount St. Mary College in Newburgh, and this is our second one here at Marist. And, you know, they've been very cooperative with us, and it's worked out really well.
So if I were somebody who was looking to do some estate planning, you would be the first person I would go to get some information and kind of get the process started, if you will?
Well, it can start with any of the professionals in the Estate Planning Council, has attorneys, CPAs, financial planners, CLU, insurance people, and philanthropy organizations. But you could start with any one of those and get going. Certainly from the legal side, you could start with us or firms like ours who do this. And oftentimes people start with their accountants. And the idea is that when you get to a point where there's something your profession isn't that comfortable with, that you get the clients in the hands of one of your colleagues in the other professions so that they can, you know, make sure they get accurate information and a good set of documents.
Because let's face it, as I said at the outset of the show, estate planning is a very difficult subject to talk about, but you have a lot of people helping you along the way through the entire process, taking you step by step through the whole thing, right?
Well, you know, normally it can be started by people looking at our website, for example, and there's a questionnaire on there, and they could fill that out and send it in. But people are kind of shy about that sometimes. So, in our particular case, most of the people come in because of word of mouth for other people who we've helped. And they make an appointment, they come in, and we go through all the things we have to, and there's a lot of information we have to have, a lot of facts we have to have to know how we're going to recommend what they do. And then, of course, we're also going to have to find out from them what their goals are. And there's a lot of personal family issues involved with this. I know earlier you were speaking about tax and all that, and we're certainly aware of all that. But tax is never the real main reason you do anything for estate planning. It's what the people in particular want to do, and there's a lot of family issues, and those have to be addressed before you get to the documents and put on paper what they actually want to do.
Let's get into the real estate part of this, what you deal with. We're talking about personal real estate, the property that you own, right?
Yes. Well, estate planning includes dealing with all of your assets, but real property is often the case for many people to be the largest assets they own. And so you have to do planning with that, and whether you're going to be remaining in New York or move to Florida or Arizona. And so it certainly involves buying and selling real estate if that's necessary, but also, taking into account in the planning process to see if the people have enough insurance, to see how the title of the real estate stands, to see if you're going to want to change that title in any way to fit into the particular plan they need, to see if they perhaps are going to transfer it to another generation, retaining a life estate in themselves. So there's a wide range of things that we have to look at having to do with the real estate.
So as far as when it comes to property, like I said, and John did a really good job of explaining the difference between, let's say, if you own a piece of property versus renting, I think he kind of explained how that all works out, right?
Well, if you're renting property, that's other than to see how it fits in your financial plan about the future, then you don't have to worry about that because it won't be in a will or a trust that you're renting, unless it's something such as a large commercial lease that's worth a lot of money and goes on for a term of years, and you'll have to take that into account about what the documents say about that. But mostly it's buying and selling real estate, or you can transfer title to your real estate in a will, or you can direct your trustee in a revocable trust, for example, to convey it to someone, or to sell it and put the proceeds into the estate to be distributed to the various beneficiaries.
Now, how about when you have a will, you have to go through the process of probate. Do you kind of help out in that as well?
Oh, absolutely. If someone passes away and it's necessary to probate their will, the will and the affidavit by the witnesses has to be presented to the court with a series of other papers. But the key item is the people who would inherit from you in New York, if you didn't have a will, it's a term of art called distributees. And whoever your distributees are, they have to be given notice of this and see a copy of the will and being given an opportunity to say they agree with it and don't make objections and sign off and have it notarized. Or they can refuse to do that, and you have to get a paper called a citation issued by the court, serve that on them, and then they can go to court to make objections. The problem is that many people think an objection is, gee, he didn't leave me any money. But that's not the case. The objections are things like, well, there was fraud, there was undue influence, the person didn't have testamentary capacity, the will wasn't signed in the proper way, and things of that nature.
And as far as, let's say, a living trust, that does not have to go through probate? That's a different story?
That's correct. If you have a revocable trust, I mean, there's a whole wide variety of trust, but the normal estate planning technique is usually a revocable trust, meaning you can change it whenever you want. But upon your death, it becomes irrevocable, and whatever it says in the trust agreement is what the trustee of the trust does to distribute the property. And so it won't have to go through probate. The key item there is if you have a revocable trust, you have to make sure you transfer all your assets into it, because if you have a fancy trust document but you haven't transferred the assets into it, you're going to have probate anyway. Or if you only get half of the assets in there, you're going to have probate anyway. So that's why someone, a professional dealing with estate planning, will make sure that they follow up and then that happens so that your plan will go through the way you wanted it to.
If anybody would like more information about getting in touch with you, if they have any questions, where can they get you?
Well, they can, if they want to get in touch with me, our office is in Newburgh, New York. However, if they have estate planning, they're looking for professionals, they can go to the Hudson Valley Estate Planning Council website, and all of our members are listed there with their contact information, and usually there'll be a connection there to their website, so you can go see what they all do, and then, you know, pick somebody out that you think would be helpful and make an appointment.
All right. Stuart Glenn Abrahendi, co-chair of the event. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Once again, we've been speaking with Stuart Glenn. Again, he is one of the two event co-chairs here at Hudson Valley Estate Planning Day going on here at Marist College here in Poughkeepsie. I'm Jim Cleafield. We're going to step aside for just a moment and take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this Word of Interest.
So you want tickets to Hamilton? I know, who doesn't? Well, the New York Post says the next best thing to seeing Hamilton, and for a tenth of the cost, is Spamilton. Yes, Spamilton, the hit off-Broadway musical spoof from the writer and creator of the legendary Forbidden Broadway. The New York Times raves, Spamilton is smart, silly, and convulsively funny. It's now in its second smash year, and right now is your shot to get tickets from only $25. So visit Spamilton.com today.
An independent lifestyle with a little less work and a little less worry. It's what you want, right? Wartburg offers independent and assisted living, along with specialized memory care for those with Alzheimer's or dementia. From adult daycare and home care to inpatient and outpatient rehab, short or long-term care, and much more. The services Wartburg offers are all backed by our 150-year reputation of providing quality care to seniors. Call to learn more, 914-699-0800, or visit wartburg.org. Wartburg, named one of the best nursing homes in New York State in 2017 by U.S. News & World Report.
We're back. Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Westchester Talk Radio broadcasting live on the campus of Marist College in Poughkeepsie in the beautiful Hudson Valley. We're here for Hudson Valley Estate Planning Day. I'm Jim Cleafield, your host, along with the Mixmaster Matt Kay and my engineer. Just a reminder, we're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Durante Reynolds, J.P. McHale Pest Management, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
Yes, it is. It is worth the earth. And just a reminder, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk, and you can like us on Facebook, too, Westchester Talk Radio. Joining me now, my latest guest, we're going to talk about another component of today's conference, and it's on cybersecurity. That's the next subject we'll talk about. And joining me is Fraser Rice. He is Managing Director of Wealth Advisory Services with Wilmington Trust. They're located in New York City. And Fraser, it's good to have you with us here today.
Jim, thanks for having me on.
Now, specifically, what you deal with in Wilmington Trust, you're on the financial side, but you're here today to speak about something that's very timely, I think, cybersecurity. And the reason I say that, because we talked off-air about this, given what happened with Equifax, 146 million people had their identities compromised. And how does that play into all of this now, the cybersecurity, when it comes to estate planning?
Well, a lot of what we do when we try to advise clients about their wealth and what their goals are for their families, for their legacies, and so on, we do a lot of work around the trust and estate planning, wills, documents, and things like that. What sometimes has gotten lost and what is now very important, especially with the Equifax incident, among others, is the fact that one of the threats to wealth is in the cybersecurity realm. And people are losing money and having things stolen, having their identity stolen, lots of inconvenience and lots of financial damage by not having procedures and thoughts in place as it relates to protecting their wealth on the cybersecurity front.
It really is about being proactive, and especially when it comes to not only your finances, but protecting your identity, and that certainly ties into this with estate planning also.
Sure, and one of the things that's happened, and really over the last 5 years or so, it's really come to the fore, one of the things we talk about to clients is really having a disaster relief plan in place. That is to say, think about what happens with if certain situations pop up. If you wake up in the morning and you go on your computer and you see your balances are zero, whom do you call? What do you think about? How would you address that problem? By the same token, what happens if you go and you're going to get a car loan or something like that and you find out that there are three mortgages in your name that you have no idea about? How do you talk to people about that? Who do you talk to? How do you address that problem? And part of what I do is sort of a small adjunct to what I normally do in my day job is to try to bring those issues to the fore so that people understand what they're doing and how to protect themselves against those types of situations.
Yeah, as they arise pretty much, or just again, to be prepared. Yeah, they say you hope for the best but prepare for the worst. I think that also explains what you do in terms of planning also.
That's right. And one of the things that we try to do is it's one thing to say, oh, how do you game for this and how do you prepare yourself? I have a list of things that where that I think are usually good best practices to follow. And for instance, for most folks, it seems obvious, but I tell them to check their credit card statement every month.
I do that on a regular basis.
Well, most people should, but it's the type of thing where commerce occurs on the credit card nowadays. I went and saw that. I did a little thought experiment with myself for 1 month to see how many cash transactions I actually used versus credit card, and I would say it was about 85% were credit card related. And it's very easy for things to slip through the cracks and then to go and find out that you have 10 charges for things you have no idea about. And it's important to have that diligence over your accounts.
I was going to say, if you get that credit card statement, if you see an unusual charge, I mean, that should be a red flag immediately, I would think.
Oh, you do not pass go, go directly to your phone and call the credit card company and get that marked. No question about it.
Yeah, that's.
I had that happen to me about 10 years ago. I purchased the gas for my car. And all of a sudden, I noticed when I got the bill the next month that not only was I charged for the gas, but I was also charged $3 for an additional item at the gas station that was run through a separate register. And it turns out that it's a good thing I called because they had already racked up about $900 in charges that I would have got on the next bill.
Oh, and that's the your case is not unique, and that's just goes back to the diligence portion. And so one to sort of extend out into the estate planning world, one of the things we talk about is guarding against things like impersonation issues, where people get some information about you, maybe get some information about the people who represent you, and go and try to use that information to open up their own lines of credit, open up their own accounts, and so on. So we try to impart to people the idea that they need to be diligent about the people that they give their information out to, and to be diligent about following their credit reports, following the accounts that are open both in their name, and making sure that accounts aren't open outside of their name using their information so that they don't have economic damage later on.
Well, I'd like to get your thoughts on Social Security numbers. That's been talked about in the wake of this Equifax situation era. Maybe perhaps the way people give their Social Security numbers, because it's more for financial institutions. What's your thoughts on all of that?
Well, I think the first thing is that when someone calls you, I would say 95% of the time that is something that I would be very wary of, for people calling, asking for information, people emailing you asking for information, especially from email addresses that you don't recognize. That would be one step that I think is important. It goes beyond the Nigerian prince looking for a safe haven for his $5 million. That seems to be obvious. Less obvious are things where the thieves have gotten very sophisticated about using corporate branding and a lot of emblems that look familiar, but coming from websites that are not familiar. If you see a website, if you see an email coming that you don't expect or something that you don't really understand, that's usually a good red flag that something's wrong. I think the consumer, the citizen these days is more wary about information that they receive electronically, and if you're suspicious, there's usually a good reason for it.
Yeah, well, if there's the phishing scams out there. I mean, anytime you receive something with an attachment and it's from something unfamiliar, or even if it looks familiar, I mean, be suspicious of that. Delete it whenever you can.
Well, and not only that, but I think one of the steps that we like to talk about with people is it's useful to perform an electronic audit of yourself. What does that mean? Usually we've got a couple of steps on that. First and foremost, I think understanding what you have, what your social media exposure is. Do you have a Facebook account? Do you have an Instagram account? Google, LinkedIn, and there are multiple other ones. Understand what accounts you have out there and what information you display on those accounts, because that is where the thieves will go out and socially engineer your profile so that if they are able to stitch together other information that they receive elsewhere, that's when you become particularly vulnerable. And so we look at that and say, and this applies to wealthy people and not wealthy people. Be careful what you have out there. Kim Kardashian's a great example. While she didn't have exactly her social security number and phone number out there, her Instagram account basically gave the robbers who got to her in Paris a pretty good map of where she was and where she was going to be, and they were able to use that to ultimately rob her. If you sort of fast forward that to purely electronic terms, people, if you put your phone number on one thing, if you, you know, crazily put your social security number somewhere else and maybe your address somewhere else, you should pretty much assume that that information is collected and usable by someone with bad intent. And just to go on a couple of other ideas, I think it's useful to Google yourself to see what information is out there. You may not have put information out there, but maybe perhaps your mortgage information or your address, your place of employment, so on, that it's in that it's out there in the internet in a capacity that you didn't expect. When that's the case, then you can understand what your exposure might be and maybe take steps to address that situation, maybe take that information off of the internet. And then finally, just understand that there's some things that really should not be out there. In my opinion, I think personal phone numbers and social security numbers are a bad bet. And then I'm very wary about putting personal addresses on. I think it's very easy for people to find you, especially if you have a business website and where there's an area of control around the information you take in and give out.
Yeah, be very careful of what you post. And I guess something you also have in the list, changing your password every so often.
Oh, well, I mean, sort of information security 101 is to have a strong password and to make sure it isn't password one or your kids' names or ABC123. I'd go so far as to say now that that the thieves are getting sophisticated enough that a lot of your information is out there, and they're going to be able to, through algorithm or reverse engineering, be able to get to a lot of the typical passwords. I think one way to erect some speed bumps along the way to keep your information safe is to change your passwords every 6 months so that they don't get too stale. Not just stale, but also, again, out there in the internet for not only one person maybe to have, but maybe for it to be resold somewhere else and then to have it otherwise taken advantage of.
Well, if anybody would like more information about what you do, or maybe they can contact the council, where can they get in touch with you?
So they can get in touch with me on my website. That's at FraserRice.com, or my employment website, which is at WilmingtonTrust.com. And information on just things generally as it relates to estate planning in the Hudson Valley is on Hudson Valley's website.
All right. Fraser Rice, very good information. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you having me, Jim. Thank you.
Once again, we've been speaking with Fraser Rice. Again, he is Managing Director, Wealth Advisory Services with Wilmington Trust. They're located in New York City. He was one of the guest speakers at this estate planning day today. I'm Jim Cleveland. We're going to step aside for just a moment and take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today. We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the campus of Marist College here in Poughkeepsie in the beautiful Hudson Valley. We're here for Hudson Valley Estate Planning Day. I'm Jim Cleefield, your host, along with the mixmaster, Matt Kay, and my extraordinary engineer. Just a reminder, we're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Durante Reynolds, J.P. McHale Pest Management, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
Indeed it is, Matt. And just a reminder, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk, and you can like us on Facebook, too, Westchester Talk Radio. Joining me now, my latest guest, she is Ida Rahili, and she is a partner with RBT, and that kind of stands for Remarkably Better Together. It's a CPA firm, and they're a global firm. And also, by the way, she has been a past president of the Hudson Valley Estate Planning Council. We want to get that in as well. Good to have you, Ida. And tell us about how you first got involved with planning all of this.
Well, we had heard about another organization, another estate planning council, that had done estate planning days, and we thought it would be a great public service to be able to offer estate planning ideas and give people in Middle America the opportunity to hear and chat with speakers that were well-versed in estate planning. And so we 12 years ago, we had our first estate planning day, and it was held at SUNY New Paltz. And every other year since then, we have had our estate planning days, and they've been very, very well received by the local community. We look at it more as a public service for the members of our community.
Now, again, this is done every 2 years because, as I was told earlier, there's so much work that goes into it, and rightfully so. As far as your firm, now, again, you deal, it's a global firm, it's a CPA, so you deal with financial issues all across the country and globally, you said, right?
We absolutely do. You know, Jim, with the way things are these days, everybody's involved nationally, and most people are involved internationally as well when it comes to business. And it's just, that's the way where we are now, and it's absolutely terrific.
Now, how about when it comes to estate planning, because that's the reason we're all here today. What specifically is your role in terms of that?
Well, as a CPA, we have, our clients all need some form of estate planning, and my role is to start the planning with our clients. And naturally, this is something we do as a team effort, because it's not something that anybody wants to or should be doing by on their own. So we like to pull in the team with the estate planning attorney, the financial planner, the insurance brokers if we need them, as well as naturally our services as the CPA.
It really is a team effort. It's so multifaceted because it's a very complicated issue. And quite frankly, as I said at the top of the show, it's very difficult as far as the subject for people to talk about. But again, it's part of the cycle of life, and this is one aspect of that.
And one of our responsibilities as professionals is to remind people that they're not going to live forever, and that in order to be fair to their families, and also in order to have their wishes accomplished, it's something they need to think about and actually communicate about.
And it doesn't matter how much you have in terms of assets, whatever the amount is. I mean, whether you own or whether you rent, I mean, you need this kind of help at some point.
Absolutely. You know, something as basic as a will. People think they don't need a will, but everybody should have a will so that their goals and their intentions are put to paper and they can be accomplished.
But again, there are differences between a will and a living trust. I think we explained that earlier in the show. But everybody, it's 101 planning to have that.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody should have a will. Everybody should have a power of attorney, a health care proxy, and a living will.
Now, your company has been around for 45 years. It was under a different name, but for 45 years, you've been helping people as part of this process from a financial standpoint?
Yes, we have. We had 45 years ago, we started out as Vanacore de Benedictus, DiGiovanni and Waddell, and we've grown to our firm to where we have, at this point, we have four offices in, the main one is in Newburgh, we have two in Dutchess County, one in Sullivan County, and we just keep growing, and as we're growing, we're helping our clients grow, and we're helping we're a full-service firm that helps them with all their needs.
What are some of the most frequently asked questions that people come to you with when it comes to estate planning?
Most people would like to preserve their assets so they can pass them either to their children or grandchildren or to their charitable beneficiaries. And they're looking to try to be able to maximize the benefit for distributing their assets according to their wishes, as well as minimizing the corresponding taxes that go along with that.
Yeah, let's say you want to give back to your college, your university, or any other charitable organization. A company like yours can help in that, too?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Whatever the amount, whatever it is, it doesn't matter how big or small. I mean, you can help with that.
We can. And it can be beyond a college or university. It can be to any charitable and beneficiaries that people are looking to work with. And that can be accomplished very easily.
Very simply, what it is, you're leaving a legacy, not only for your family, but also your college or university or perhaps some friends. You're leaving that legacy. That's part of that.
It certainly is. And a lot of people, when you mention colleges and universities, they credit the colleges and university with helping them where they got today.
Sure.
And where they got in business. And it's a way of saying thank you.
Yeah, it is a way to give back. And again, that's all part of this too. And not just the family, but it goes beyond the scope of family.
Absolutely, yeah.
So So as far as an event like this today, so everybody was talking about the step-by-step process. I mean, life insurance, tax planning, that's something you do. It's all connected, right?
It is all connected. And again, it all has to be it should be a group effort so that all the bases can be covered with the experts that need to be at the table. And it just, that makes sure that all the questions are answered or as answered as they can be. And that way people go away knowing that they have a whole team of people behind them and that their wishes and their intentions are covered.
Now, let's face it, unless you're a financial genius, and I don't know anybody that is, that's where you come in and help.
Yes, we do. We do. Yeah.
All phases of that. If anybody would like more information about the council or perhaps about RBT, where can they get in touch with you or them?
Well, first of all, the easiest way is to get in touch via phone. Our phone number is 845-567-9000, and I can be reached. My name again is Ida Rahali, or via email, it's irahali@rbtcpas.com.
Okay. Ida, thanks so much for joining us. And again, she is with RBT. They're based in Newburgh, but again, it is a global company helping us more understand about the process of real estate planning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Ida. Again, we're broadcasting live, Westchester Talk Radio is, from the campus of Marist College here in Poughkeepsie for Hudson Valley Estate Planning Day. We're going to step aside for just a moment to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this word.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side. They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit reversoassociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
You'd probably rather use that extra cash to buy a new car, but the contaminated soil around your oil tank needs attention. Northeast Environmental is Westchester's premier provider for underground storage tank removals and environmental services. Call Northeast Environmental, 777-1930, and take care of your dirt.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the campus of Marist College here in Poughkeepsie in the beautiful Hudson Valley. We're here for Hudson Valley Estate Planning Day. I'm Jim Cleefield, your host, along with the mixmaster, Matt Kay, and my extraordinary engineer. Just a reminder, we're produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Durante Reynolds, J.P. McKell Pest Management, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
Yes, it is, Matt. And just a reminder, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk, and you can like us on Facebook, too, Westchester Talk Radio. Joining me now, my final guest for the day's proceedings, she is Sally Cross. She is Vice President of Philanthropy with a group called Community Foundations of the Hudson Valley. It's a nonprofit, and one of their locations is based here in Poughkeepsie, as a matter of fact. Sally, good to have you with us. Close to 50 years you've been around?
That's correct. We were founded as the Area Fund of Poughkeepsie and have since expanded to cover our grant making to all of Dutchess, Ulster, and Putnam counties.
And specifically, tell us about what you do. Can you expound on that?
We help people create charitable legacies. So people have funds with us either during their lifetimes as a donor-advised fund from which they give us a charitable gift, and then they can recommend grants to the not-for-profit or charitable causes of their choice. We also have people who leave us legacies, who establish funds to provide a permanent source of income for the charities of their choice, their house of worship, their alma mater, or causes that they care most about.
Now, so this is not a one-time donation here. You want this to be a continuing amount of donations long after you're gone. As you said, it's all about a legacy.
That's right. Community foundations are really established to provide permanent benefits for the not-for-profit community in their region. We are one of about 800 nonprofits. Each of us has a depth of expertise of the nonprofit community in our own area of service.
Can you give us some recent examples of those that you've worked with?
We work extensively with the social service agencies in throughout our service areas, where there's the Children's Home of Poughkeepsie or Dutchess Outreach. We have over 500 funds, and we grant out about over $3 million each year. So we're about the second largest grant maker in the region. And we support everything from local churches and synagogues to colleges and universities to animal shelters, and tiny little grassroots organizations doing literacy and other great work in the community.
So if I were somebody coming to you for the first time and I wanted to, you know, leave that legacy, make that annual donation long after I'm gone, how does that process begin with you?
It begins with a conversation about what you'd really like to accomplish as your legacy. Do you want it to be specifically to a particular institution? How do you want your name and your legacy to live on in our community? And then after we have that conversation, then we talk about how to make that happen and what kind of fund we would set up for you to do that.
Yeah, someone asked the question to you, how do you want to be remembered? Well, this is one way of doing it with the charitable donations. That way, every year you keep your name in there and you leave that legacy to make that person's life better or that charity better.
That's right. That's correct. I mean, I think a person sits down and when they make their estate plans, you know, you take care of your family and you take care of your friends. But often, you know, there are charities that you or causes that you are passionate about that you don't want, you know, when the time comes, you want a gift from your will or estate to also continue the support that you've had during your lifetime. You could also set up a fund during your lifetime. Those are called a donor-advised fund.
And that, I guess, depends on how much you want to give. I mean, that's really up to the individual to decide, you know, what they feel that would be the right amount to give every year. Is that how it works?
Yeah. And you know, our funds are generally invested, and the goal is to be able to provide long-term support. So we hold about $61 million of assets, and primarily what is granted out is the earnings of those assets each year from the 500 funds.
Now, you mainly work here in this part of the Hudson Valley, but you're not exclusive. I mean, you do help some people in Westchester even beyond that?
Absolutely. Actually, a number of our grant programs are regional. Some of our food and animal welfare grant programs are regional. And those who have donor-advised funds, who establish funds with us, and then they recommend grants, and they can do that to any charity or nonprofit in anywhere in the country.
I'm just reading the background here. Connecting people who care with causes that matter. I mean, that pretty much is in a nutshell about what you do as an organization for close to 50 years now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, so anybody that would come to approach you about possibly doing this, you kind of take them step by step through the whole process?
Sure. Yeah, and often we work, you know, directly with the person who wishes to establish this fund. Many times we may also bring in be working with their attorney or their financial advisor. Sometimes people have had, say they've sold their business or they've had a really good year and their accountant is saying to them, you really got to give a lot of money away this year. Well, they can set up a fund with us, take the charitable tax deduction, and then recommend grants over time as they, you know, their interest comes up.
And how about the charity itself? Do you work with them too?
We absolutely work with the charities. We provide a lot of technical support and training board development. We hold workshops every year, and we do a lot of one-on-one sort of hands-on, you know, advising.
And what about those workshops? Where do they usually take place?
It varies. We actually had a workshop earlier this year at Marist College about how nonprofits can be effective advocates. We often offer workshops on gift planning and estate planning and how the nonprofits can tell their donors that they can leave a gift for them in their will or estate plan. And we hold them around the community. Also, we might do one in Poughkeepsie or one in Kingston. It varies from year to year.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about leaving money for your family and your friends, but another aspect of that estate planning is donating to charity, if that's what you want to do.
Right, absolutely. And Americans are very generous people. So
they are, they absolutely
it's,
are.
It's a very substantial portion of the $61 million we hold came to us, at least in part, as a result of somebody's gifts in their estate plan.
And that continues, and that's been going on again for close to five decades.
And it continues in the name of the donors forever.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
All right. Well, if anybody would like more information about your organization, Sally, where can they get in touch with you?
Great. Thank you so much.
On the website, or where they contact you?
CommunityFoundationsHV.org is our website. Our number in Poughkeepsie is 845-452-3077.
All right, very good information. Sally, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Once again, we've been speaking with Sally Cross again. She is Vice President of Philanthropy. compete with Community Foundations of the Hudson Valley. They got two locations, as a matter of fact, one here in Poughkeepsie and also one up in Kingston. But again, they do serve some people in Westchester. We want to make that clear as well. Well, that'll do it for this segment of Westchester Talk Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Again, we've been broadcasting live from Hudson Valley Estate Planning Day here at Marist College in Poughkeepsie in the beautiful Hudson Valley. We really hope you enjoyed it. Really found this broadcast very informative. I most certainly did. And I just want to remind you again, we have been produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelifts Painting, Reverso Associates, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Wartburg, Durante Reynolds, J.P. McHale Pest Management, and Northeast Environmental.
Where it's worth the earth, Jim.
Yes, it is, Matt. Just a reminder, once again, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes at Westchester Talk, and you can like us on Facebook, too, Westchester Talk Radio. My name is Jim Cleefield. I want to thank all of our crew. First of all, you, Mixmaster Matt Kahan.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. And, you know, looking around here today, I believe that we both got schooled regarding wills, estates, and trusts and general finance matters here at Marist College.
Yeah, there really is a lot to learn. And as I said, hopefully you, the audience, certainly picked up a lot of information, really good information. We most certainly did. And to our buddy Andrew Castellano of Shark Creative, Shark Media, thanks so much for helping us arrange these wonderful events to your help as well. And to you, the audience, thank you so much for joining us as well. We couldn't do it without you. My name is Jim Cleefield speaking, and thanks for joining us. We'll be back next time. We'll see you again soon. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark Creative.